Jesus died for me on a hill called Calvary. He suffered pain that no one else could do. He shed his blood for all of us to cleanse us of our sins. God gave his only son for me and you. I praise the name of Jesus, that's all I want to do. If you praise Jesus just the same, he'll look after you. I praise the name of Jesus, that's all I want to do. The power in that glorious name displays his love for you. God wanted to sacrifice his only begotten son. He did it with arms open wide, because he knew that one day we would all be as one, standing together as his bride. I praise the name of Jesus, that's all I want to do. If you praise Jesus just the same, he'll look after you. I praise the name of Jesus, that's all I want to do. The power in that glorious name displays his love for you. And we all know that Jesus was the sacrificial lamb, dwelling place of God, the great I am. And if we can trust him and hold with an open heart, Jesus said he'd come to us and never, never part. I praise the name of Jesus, that's all I want to do. And if you praise Jesus just the same, he'll look after you. I praise the name of Jesus, that's all I want to do. The power in that glorious name displays love for you. We who live in this day have received the greatest light. For us there is no shadows of the night. God sent to us the prophet, fulfilling Malachi 4. And we can praise the Lord like no people could before. I praise the name of Jesus, that's all I want to do. If you praise Jesus just the same, he'll look after you. I praise the name of Jesus, that's all I want to do. The power in that glorious name displays his love for you. A vindicated prophet, he is the voice of God. But to those who aren't elected, his words seem very odd. He opens up the Bible, God's precious holy word, and he shows us, God's people, how to truly serve the Lord. I praise the name of Jesus, that's all I want to do. If you praise Jesus just the same, he'll look after you. I praise the name of Jesus, that's all I want to do. The power in that glorious name displays his love for you. Amen.
Me, I like songs that come from God. because we can do it. I like that song, Brother Brian. That's very good. Hallelujah. Is it long enough? Should be. Hallelujah. Okay. Yeah, should be okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
They like holding microphones, so I'm going to... make some noise. I hope someone will be blessed. If it doesn't, really, we don't convey what you want to hear. Please just forgive us. But we want just to make praise the Lord. It was not easy this morning getting here, but
amen.
And we want just to thank Him.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Since I laid my
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Since we laid our burdens down and he took our burdens. Amen. Let's sing our song. We enter into before the pastor comes. But before, I just, sorry for taking long to say this. I just want to give just a very brief testimony. Last week I had an eye test on Thursday. It's been coming for a long time. And I went before and they told me, no, you're not allowed to. You need to pass the certain test before I can get my provisional license and I can start driving. You're not allowed on the road. We see something in your eye. And they were telling me all strange things. But I was praying about it and I didn't want to be prayed for at any time for a while. And then last week I felt, hey, let me go for prayer. And the brother prayed for me. And when he prayed for me, I felt such a warmness come over me, you know. You can call it a feeling, whatever. But when I came out of church, I could see so clear through my eyes, and I said to the brother, I said, brother, something happened because I can see so clear through this eye. And he said, brother, please do me a favor, when you get the results, send me an email, you know. And I went for the test, and they put me through. I was there for hours. They were testing a lot of things, and you know, and the lady said, look, I can't find anything wrong with you. He says, I can't see anything wrong that this lady said, you know. So we praise God. So we praise God in all things. Let's sing that song. Let's enter into the holies and let's stand while we sing.
I enter the holies of holies. I enter to the God of God. Oh, I enter to worship you only, Jesus. I enter to honor I am.
Well, let's worship him this morning.
Lord, I worship you. Oh, we worship you, I worship. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Lord, I worship you. Hallelujah. I worship you. Oh, your name is holy. Oh, your name is holy. Oh, your name is holy God. Oh, your name is holy. Elohim, you are holy. Oh, your name is holy. Holy, holy. Holy, holy God, for your name is holy, for your name is holy, 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 holy God.
Oh, we enter in this morning,
we enter in to the temple. Give thanks to the ancient of days, to our name, for his mercies unto us. Oh, give thanks to the ancient of days.
Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord, shout holy people.
His mercies unto us.
Give thanks to the ancient of days.
We give you thanks, my Lord.
Give thanks to the ancient of days.
Ancient of days.
Give thanks to the ancient of days.
We give you thanks, Lord.
We give thanks to the ancient of days.
Ancient of days.
give thanks to the Ancient of Days.
Sister Duba is giving thanks to the Ancient of Days for passing her exams. May the Lord bless her for that. And also, please remember Grace, she's not feeling well. Sister Jivili's sister Judith is here. God bless you, sister. She's here to visit. May the Lord be with her. And also, Brother Mike's sister Patience, they're traveling to Malawi on Tuesday. Let's also remember Brother Tony and his family. They've traveled to England for 2 weekends. So pray for them as well. Let's bow our heads. Father, how we long to give thanks to you upon this day. Father, just to draw nigh. Lord Jesus, it's only in your presence, it's only in your glory that we find ourselves. Father, it's only in you that we find reason and purpose for being. And Father, that's how we just want to just yield unto thee at this time. Each and every one of your people. Father, how faithful you are, how good that you are. Thank you for our sister with her exams. Thank you that you've allowed her, Lord, to possess this gate. Father, may you bless and continue to lead her. Lord, Brother Tony, his family, I pray for them. Be with them upon this day. Father, overshadow them, Lord. Even our brother and sister that will be traveling, we do ask for your grace, Lord. Fathers that go to Malawi, give them a good time there. We pray, Lord, for our little sister who's not well, Jesus. Even at this time, we just ask of you that you'd look down. That, Father, you would just let your great healing virtue, Lord, draw nigh, even as you touch the eyes of our brother. Go and touch her, Lord, in this situation, Lord. We do seek and ask and pray, Father. And as we open up your word, Father, how dependent we are upon you. How we long just to do your will upon this day. That, Father, as we'd come to the end, you would look down and, Father, you would say it was good. Let it be so, Father. Bless your people upon this day. Touch your people. We do pray, Lord, pour in the oil, pour in the wine. Even as, Lord, Brother Max was saying, oh, Father, the stimulation of revelation. Father, that you may help us to score some goals upon this day in you. That, Father, your will may be done. Bless us as you open your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, we do greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be alive and serving the Lord. I don't know about you, but I love to serve the Lord. We go to work, we do our other things, we do it because we have to. But we love to serve the Lord. Just to say also for Sister Noella, we're very sorry about her relatives that passed away, her uncle and her aunt. So we'll be gathering there in the afternoon straight after service. May the Lord comfort the family as well as our desire. Let's open Galatians chapter 6. Just as you do that, just a reminder, not next weekend, the following weekend, we have Brother Howard Searle from New Zealand with us for Saturday evening and for Sunday. That's in 2 weekends' time. So please keep that in prayer. Galatians 6, verse 7 and verse 8. Remember, we're looking at this thought of what we believe and why. So we're trying to just reinforce certain points that we know, but it's good for us to really sometimes, like the prophet says, take the nail and clinch it. So, so I hope we'll have some goals scored today. Because sometimes it can be awful lonely up here when you hit certain points and there's the half hour silence amongst the people. You know, so. Galatians 6, 7, 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. May the Lord bless His word. You may be seated. I just want to speak today on the topic, just continuing on from where we were the weekend before last. I want to speak about despising your birthright. We'll see that as we get into it. But I also want to speak on this topic because I think it's this world has a very numbing effect on us. You know, the prophet says we can become spiritually numb. You know, we can get ourselves in a situation that we don't see things the way that God sees them. We can look at sin, and because we're in the flesh, we think there's nothing wrong in decisions we make and the things that I do, not realizing the way God feels about those things. And unless we get into the Spirit and start seeing things His way, because Paul says we have the mind of Christ, we can trample on holy things. We can sin against God. We can put ourselves in a lot of trouble. We can heap up trouble for ourselves, for the future, and for our children, our families, and so forth. Yet because we're spiritually dull, we don't recognize what we're doing. You know, that's why God's word is so important. That's why fellowship is so important. And that is why you listening to the word yourself is so important. You know, don't ever just rely upon church. Because, I mean, how many? We have 1.5 hours here a week. How can anybody ever rely upon that? You know, you've got to have your own time. You've got to have your time in the scripture. You've got to have your time in the message of the hour. No, you've got to listen. We were speaking in the car when we were coming down today. Just saying, you know, that this age that we're living in, it's an age where this generation wants things handed to them on a plate. You know, when it gets to the school curricula, if you're doing English literature, whatever, and you have to read Shakespeare. When we were at school, we did King Henry V, part 2 or part 4, whatever it was. But people don't want to read that now. They want to go to the bookstore, get a little summary, study guide, study notes. And instead of getting into the real thing, they want to find the quick solution to it. That's okay if you want to pass your GCSEs or whatever it is, or you're leaving cert. But for the kingdom of God, that'll never do. Never rely on anybody else's summary of the message of the hour. You need to study it yourself. You need to read the church age book yourself. The first thing I ever read in the message was a church age book. The brother testified to me, gave me the church age book. The church age book is a summary of what you believe. It's got all the scriptures. It's got the spirit of Elijah. It's got water baptism. It's got the serpent seed. It's got the book of life. It's got all of these things inside of there. Don't sit back and wait for somebody else to come and give you the summary. You get yourself in the meat of the message. Now, these things weren't stored up. John wasn't told, eat the summary. John was told, eat the book. And that's what we as believers are supposed to do. And that's why we get a generation of message believers who don't really understand what the message is. Because the Bereans in the Bible, they commended because they didn't just take what Paul said, but they went and they searched the scriptures diligently to make sure, to understand for themselves. And that's the key. Now, I said it once before, I was speaking to the guy in the Christian bookshop. You know, I was just speaking to him. He's this guy, Doogie, in our town. And he said it. He said, he says, these days people don't want to buy commentaries anymore. They want to buy 10 steps to spiritual success. 10 ways to prosper in prayer. I mean, those kinds of books are not even worth most of the time the paper that they printed on. You need to get into the depth of what you believe. This is your soul. This is your life. You need to be able to give an account yourself of the things that you believe. And that's how when these winds of doctrine, as we said on Wednesday, blow through the message, you find people get blown aside and go and get baptized in some man's name. You find message believers burning message books. Shame on those people. Those unstable souls, like the Bible says. Don't allow anybody to steal your crown. Don't allow anyone to deceive you. You make sure you know Christ. You make sure you know what you believe. Because the prophet says there'll be many new things come. He says, look at them flying around. He says, there'll be many more of these things come. You need to know. You need to give an account of the hope that is within you. And there's no shortcut to that. No, there's no playing around with the world and then spending 5 minutes a day in the Word and expecting anything to happen inside of your life. You've got to separate yourself from the things of the world. You've got to apply yourself to the Word. You've got to get in His presence. You've got to pray. You've got to worship Him. Then you've got to open up the message of the hour. And you've got to seek the mind of Christ to understand, you know, what God thinks about you and what God thinks about this age and that which pleases Him and that which doesn't please Him. For example, let's just have a look in Leviticus 18. God's eternal word from verse 22. Let's just read the scripture here. Because this generation now that we're living in, they've really lost the reality of how severe God looks at certain things. You know, and if we're not careful, we start conforming to the world. But the Bible says we should be renewed, transformed by the renewing of our mind. We shouldn't be conformed to the way the world sees things. Verse 22, Leviticus 18. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Now the word abomination in the Bible, let me tell you what this word means. If God is saying something's an abomination, the word abomination means to loathe. That means to hate something deeply. So there's certain things that God hates deeply, friends. God doesn't hate the sinner, but He hates sin. Christ was judged for the sins of the world, for the sins of his people. God has to pour out his wrath against sin. We don't hate anybody. No matter what somebody is, whatever your behavior, you may be a drunkard, you may be an adulterer, whatever it is, doesn't mean we hate you in any way. Because God so loved the world. But it's that sin. That's the thing that's going to get you into a lot of trouble with God. Because there's sin, God hates it, but there's certain levels of sin that are an abomination to God. That he loathes it. That's what it means to loathe, to morally detest. Imagine God detesting something. Imagine something being that when God looks at it, he gets angry against it. He detests it. But the Bible speaks about these things. And friends, we don't want to be accepting things in our lives. We don't want to be doing things on a daily basis that God detests. That's why the Bible says, be not partaker of her sins, lest you be a partaker of her plagues. Because God will judge sin every single time. There's consequences for sin. It doesn't matter how you look at it. It doesn't mean anything. It's how God looks at things that's the most important thing. So he says, verse 23, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is a confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in these things the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. So when Israel went into the land, God destroyed those nations. Man, woman, child. Because they had become so defiled that the sin they were doing didn't only defile them, you'll see, it polluted the land. It defiled even the place that they were living. And that's why God had to destroy them, to cleanse and purge the land of that wickedness. God never spared that one. He says in verse 25, he says, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out their inhabitants. It's like when you eat something which is doesn't agree, you know, it's something which is maybe poisonous or something. No, your body is going to react, it's going to vomit that thing out. And the behavior of those seven nations that were there when Israel was given the inheritance, those nations in the land, God says it's so detestable that the land's going to vomit these people out. Now friends, you don't want to be vomited out of the kingdom of God. You don't want to be vomited out of God's inheritance for you. But there's certain things that displease God greatly. There's certain things that are an abomination to him. And you don't want to be a partaker in those kind of things. It says it in verse 26. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments. Shall not commit any of these abominations. Neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourns among you. So you're saying, if you want to stay in this land, if you want me to bless you in this land, you don't do these things. And if anybody comes from somewhere else and comes and joins himself with you, they're not allowed to do these things in the land either. They're not allowed to do these abominations, because these defile the land. So it says in the next verse, for all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. So sin has this corrupting influence that it defiles everything that it comes in contact with. It doesn't just defile you, it defiles the land. You'll end up defiling your family. You find somebody getting on the internet at night looking at pornography. Don't be surprised when your children start getting overcome in sexual sins as well, because you've opened the door to them. You've defiled yourself, and now you're going to defile the land as well. And these nations that were before, they defiled themselves with these abominations. But it wasn't only the people that did those sins who suffered. It was their children that suffered as well. Every single one of them had to be slaughtered. Their blood had to be shed because of the sins and the iniquities, what their parents were doing. We're now visited upon their children. Friends, it's a serious thing to think about. That's the consequences of sin. That's why Paul was saying, do not be deceived. Don't deceive yourself. Don't think you can sin and nothing's going to take place. He says, God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, that you're going to reap. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You're going to reap a harvest for what you're doing now. We were speaking yesterday about it with the brothers. The Brother Crosby once before he preached that service when he took the quote from the prophet, 5 years from now. Where will you be 5 years from now? What you're doing today determines where you're going to be 5 years from now. If you're sowing to the flesh, I can prophesy over your life. You're going to be reaping corruption 5 years from now. If you're sowing to the Spirit, I'll prophesy you're going to be reaping life eternal 5 years from now. What you're sowing now, you're going to reap the harvest. It's a simple principle of the Word of God. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap, the Bible says. Whatever you're sowing, you're going to reap. If you're sowing abomination, you're going to reap abomination. You're going to reap a harvest of whatsoever it is. He says in verse 28, that the land spew not you out also. He says, don't go and do the things these people are doing. The land spews them out for these things. Don't think if you go in the land, which is the message, and go and do the same things, that the land's not going to spew you out also. God is no respecter of persons. This isn't a personal thing. There's certain things that God detests. There's certain things that are an abomination to Him. And if He has to judge one person because of doing it, He's going to judge you if you do it as well. That's the consequences of sin. He says, verse 29, for whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Yay. So He says, there's a certain level of sin out of your inheritance. That God may have brought you into the promised land. God may have had good thoughts towards you. God may have stored up an inheritance for you. Had a position for you in the kingdom. He wanted you to be a blessing, to be blessed, to be a blessing to His people. Then you start getting caught up in those abominations that are in the nations round and about you. You're in danger. You can lose your inheritance. And if you're not careful, like we saw on Wednesday, you can even lose your name off the book of life. There's a certain level of sin that your name will be blotted out. Though your name was on the book of life, God will look and He'll blot your name out of the book of life. And you won't be a privileged person, the prophet says. Let's have a look in Leviticus 20. He goes a little bit further on. These are all the sexual laws, the laws concerning sexual behavior and sexual sin. And the reason we need to focus on these things many, many times is because we're living in a wicked and an adulterous generation. These are the things that catch the sons and daughters of God more than anything else. Yes, money catches certain people, popularity catches some, but it's the woman, it's the men, it's the relationship, it's these sins of the flesh. These are the greatest things that we have to overcome. Because the atmosphere is permeated with this anointing at this time. Such a lustful spirit. You're surrounded by it on the billboards. You're surrounded by it wheresoever you go. And that's why the Lord makes it very clear in your word. He says, you be careful that you don't do the after the abomination of these nations. And He says, Leviticus 20 verse 10. He says, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, and the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Amen. Under that covenant was physical death, now it's spiritual death. Amen. You partake of these things, now you separate your soul from God. Amen. In the Catholic Church, they say there's certain sins that are mortal sins. There's certain other sins, well, they're just this and that. But there's certain sins that if you don't repent of them, they take you to hell. And these are the kind of sins that separate your soul from God. And if you don't repent of these things, your soul will be damned. No matter how much you've known of the message, no matter how much you've known of the promised land, no matter how much you can quote this, that, and the other, these things separate the soul of somebody from God. These are a certain level of sin you don't want to get yourself involved in. Or if you do get yourself involved, there needs a thorough repentance for these things. Because these are the things that in the old covenant you would be stoned to death. You'd be put to death. Under this covenant you'll be disfellowshipped from the kingdom of God. You'll be disfellowshipped from the house of God if you don't repent of these kind of things. Verse 11, he says, and the man that lies with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. My, So you go, and in those days of polygamy or whatever it was in those days, a man would go and sleep with his father's wife, his father's concubine. And might have thought, oh, well, it's just a small little thing that I'm doing, not realizing that was going to cause his soul to be cut off from among the sons and daughters of God. Amen. God looked at those things so severely, he would never compromise with that. And he continues on and on. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul brings us into the New Testament now, just to show the principle's the same. Though we're not under that physical covenant, we're in a spiritual covenant, but the principle holds the same. Let's look at verse 1. He says to the Corinthians, "It is Corinthians 5 verse 1, it is reported commonly that there's fornication among you. And such fornication as not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife." Exactly what Moses has just told us is against the law of Moses. And you'd be stoned for doing it. Under this grace covenant, you're not going to be put to death physically, but spiritually you're going to die if you don't repent. And he says, verse 2, "And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you." So in the Old Testament it was that soul shall be cut off from Israel. You would stone them to death. Under the new covenant, that person must be taken away from among you. You see, it's the same principle. If God detested those sins in the Old Testament, he detests them in the New Testament as well. We might not take you outside and stone you with physical stones, but there's consequences to these things in the kingdom of God. He says, "For I verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that has so done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together in my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." Friends, it's a severe thing. These sins cause you to lose your inheritance. And if you continue in them, it causes you to lose your place in eternal life. That's the severity of these sins. But the world won't tell you that. Your friends at college, your friends at school, the other denominational people will say there's nothing wrong with a boy kissing a girl outside of marriage. There's nothing wrong with fornication. There's nothing wrong with these things. But in the eyes of God, it's one of the most abominable sins. Any sexual act done outside of marriage is an abomination in the eyes of God. And there's a day of reckoning. God's going to visit upon you. It'll defile you and it'll defile the land as well. But we don't see that because we watch Hollywood. And the prophet says Hollywood has polluted the morals of our women. We watch all of these fallen stars and we see the way they dress and the way they behave. And you watch so many of these things on the screen, all of these acts that should never even be mentioned, until we start losing the effect of what these things are really in the kingdom of God. It's a serious thing, friends. These things aren't things to play around with. Look in Genesis 25. Let's look now at Esau. Let's look at the danger, first of all, of doing certain things that you'll do them now and don't think they have consequences, but sometimes it has far deeper consequences than you would think. Genesis 25, verse 31. This is the principle of the birthright. Now, the birthright was to the firstborn. The firstborn of the family had the rights of the firstborn. And part of that was the possessions, was a double portion. That was the birthright. The second thing, they had the scepter, the leadership of the tribe. They were given more authority than their brethren. And the third thing, they were given the priesthood. They would offer the sacrifices and intercede on behalf of the tribe in those days. So the birthright was a great sacred thing, but it was a great sacred responsibility as well. And we are the church of the firstborn, the Bible says. So we are the ones that have the right to the birthright. And Esau, being the firstborn, he had the rights to the birthright. He had the rights to having the authority, having the priesthood. He could inherit the double portion. It was a sacred thing. God was offering him such a sacred thing. But in verse 31, when he came back now hungry, and Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" Friends, That's like somebody looking at a boy in the world and saying, oh, this message of the hour, it holds me back from doing what I want to do. That's like a girl, a boy looking at the girls of the world and saying, well, let me just get in a relationship. Ah, what profit is it to really be under this message? You might think that's a small thought that you've thought, but God sees that thought. Because when Esau looked and he says, what profit shall this birthright do to me? God hated that. Before the foundation of the world, God says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. It was this that was in Esau that God hated. That a man wouldn't esteem the things of God. A man wouldn't esteem his inheritance. A man wouldn't esteem the priesthood of a believer. A man wouldn't esteem the authority, the inheritance, the possession that God, through your birth, has stored up for you. Amen. Oh, friends, it's a serious thing. But each and every one of us is called to the blessings of the birthright. Because of Christ the firstborn. We are the church of the firstborn. So God brings us into the message of the hour, brings us into the land of promise, and offers us the birthright. But us inheriting that birthright, the prophet says, is dependent on our conduct and our behavior. It's not an automatic thing. We can be like Esau. We're born and are offered the birthright. It's our inheritance. But we can forsake that inheritance because you don't esteem the birthright. We get in the flesh and we look at the things of the flesh and say, what profit is this message of the hour to me? This message of the hour is the tutor that brings you to your birthright. It brings us to the third pool birthright. That's our inheritance, friends. But before we get to the fullness of that, he's going to test our conduct and our behavior. What do we think of this birthright? Do we think of the flesh more than we do of the spirit? Do we sow to the flesh or do we sow to the kingdom of God? We've got to be careful. So he says, what profit does this do to me? Friends, be careful what you do when you're low in spirit. Be careful what you do and what you say when you're not walking with God. You might think it's a small thing, but it can come back and haunt you down the way. You've got to be careful. He says in verse 33, and Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swear unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. Imagine a physical hunger which could be satisfied just by one act of eating was more important to this man than the birthright. He sold his birthright because of a plate of pottage, the Bible says, to fulfill his natural desire. He said, what do I need this birthright for? And he weighed the birthright in one hand and he weighed the things of the flesh in the other and said, I prefer the things of the flesh. And God looked down and said, I hate that. He said, I hate that attitude that's in this brother. Though he's a child of the covenant, he's in the promise. The birthright was his if he wanted it. But that was a decision that he made. It says, verse 34, then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. He despised, he never esteemed it. That's what it means. He never took it as an important thing. He never looked at it as a sacred thing. Friends, the most important thing is your position in Christ. The most important thing is for you to fulfill your adoption. There's nothing more important. Even if you don't have enough shoes, even if you don't have enough clothes in the cupboard, enough food in the fridge, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is you should apprehend that for which Christ apprehended you. That there's a purpose, there's a destiny. There's something that He's brought us to. There's a place that He's leading us to, spiritually, as individuals. But be careful of the flesh. Be careful of the deeds of the flesh. Because look what Paul says in Hebrews 12, verse 15, when he speaks about Esau. And he brings it as an example to us now. Hebrews 12, verse 15. He says, looking diligently. Watch yourself diligently. Be careful. Not just once in a while. Not just when somebody passes by and there's a revival in the church. Watch your soul diligently. Be careful. Day by day, looking diligently. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. So God can bring His grace to you and you fail of the grace of God. You can receive the grace of God in vain. God can bring you right into the message of the hour. Bring you right under the token of the blood. God can offer you eternal life. You can be in the very presence of eternal life. And because you despise your birthright, because you esteem other things ahead of the birthright, you fail of the grace of God. Oh, friends, you can fail. You had grace at your fingertips and your soul is damned at the end. You are right in the presence of eternal life, like the rich young ruler. Grace is right there. It's being offered to you. And you never avail yourself of the grace of God. You fail of the grace of God. And you fail of the grace of God. Verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator. So this is how we fail of the grace of God. This is how we despise our birthright. Giving ourselves over to the things of the flesh. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person. As Esau. Who for one morsel of bread sold his birthright. My. But it didn't finish there. Look in verse 17. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Friends, we can do certain things and we think we've got away with it. We think that didn't have too much an effect. And down the way now, when you want to go now and seek the grace of God, like Esau when he went and he wept before his father and says, is there no blessing for me? The blessing had passed him by. He could never get that full blessing back. Ah, friends, that's a serious thing. Your conduct today can knock you out of your inheritance in the future. You can do things now that God will never forget. Not to say you won't be a son. Not to say sometimes you won't inherit eternal life on certain things that you do. Because you may repent of it down the way. But when Esau came to repent of it, though God can forgive you, there's consequences for what you've done. And God will look and say, that which I had in store for him, I'm going to shift and give it over here. And you fail of the grace of God. Friends, you only have one chance at this, like we said on Wednesday. We don't want to play around with the grace of God. You don't want to play with the grace of God. It says, though he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. We had our friend back home in Zimbabwe, Brother Lloyd. And he came to the Lord and he was so zealous. And he would go and testify to people everywhere. And he was quite a powerful brother at first. And then he got caught up with the things of the flesh and he left the message. And we used to really try to testify to him. And after some time, 1-2 years, he wanted to come back. And he came back to church. But he never came back to Christ. And he would say it to us, he said, it's not what I thought it was going to be. I thought I could just come back and get that same power and that same virtue that I used to have. And he never found it again up to this day. He stayed in church for a while and then he just drifted out and back he went to the world. Friends, you can't play with the grace of God. You can't. There's no guarantee that the offer of grace that he's giving you today, he's going to give you tomorrow. He's under no obligation to that. If you don't receive the grace of God today and take advantage of his grace today, you don't know what tomorrow holds. Esau didn't know what tomorrow held. He thought this birthright's nothing. At any time I can get the blessing. Then he goes to seek the blessing and the blessing had departed from him. And though he sought it with tears and with repentance, he could never come back into the favor that he had with God. He could never come back to what God had in store for him. Friends, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap. You're going to reap. And that reaping is going to be a bitter harvest. You're going to reap a harvest of tears. And sometimes the tears is going to be insufficient to bring you back to what God was offering to you. Never, friends, esteem the things of this world ahead of your birthright. No matter how low you get in spirit, be careful. Looking diligently, Paul said. Watch over yourself diligently. We have a look in Revelation 7, we don't have to read it, but you know we quoted it on Wednesday. When it gets to the tribulation period, when it gets to the time right coming into the millennium, it's time now for God to visit now his people Israel with the last half of the 70th week of Daniel. When it's time now for Moses and Elijah to come and to open, unseal the kingdom, to open the trumpets and all of that to Israel. For Israel to recognize Christ their Messiah. For the spirit of supplication to be poured upon them. For the fountain to be opened in the house of David. And to be poured out upon the house of Israel. You know the saddest thing is, these two tribes aren't going to be there. Two tribes. Dan and Ephraim. Though they were numbered amongst the original sons of Jacob 3,500 years ago. But when it comes time in our age now, thousands of years later, for them to receive their portion, the fullness of what God has stored up for his people Israel, they won't be there. They won't be numbered amongst the tribes of Israel. You can read Revelation 7. And there's a reason for that. Because they did certain things back there a long time ago. And they didn't think it would matter. They did certain things. And when God looked at what they did, God paid serious attention. And though time went by, seasons went by, years went by, kingdoms rose and kingdoms fell, God never forgot. God never forgot what those two tribes had done. It says it in the Bible, speaking of their sin, you'll find that in a book of Hosea, it says, Ephraim is joined unto his idols. Let him alone. So Ephraim, right in the days, I think Jeroboam, it was in his days, when Jeroboam said, how am I going to stop the people going back to Jerusalem again, the divided kingdom? He said, let's make a golden calf. Let's make idols. He put two of them, one in Bethel and one in Dan. And there were two tribes bowed down. Dan and Ephraim. And they bowed down to those idols. And God had told them, if you are in the land and you bow down and worship any other image, worship any other god, I'll blot your name under heaven. And these nations, because of whatever it was, they went and they bowed themselves down. And they worshipped these golden calves. And they got up and went their way. And they thought there was no consequences to what they did. And then thousands of years later now, when it's time for them to get the fullness of the blessing, the names aren't there. God has blotted their names out from under heaven. It's a serious thing to think about. Listen how the prophet says it in the seventh seal. He says in Revelation 7, Dan and Ephraim is missing and not numbered with them. Did you notice? Joseph and Levi were substituted in their place. Why? The ever-remembering God remembers every promise of his word. God doesn't forget anything, though it looks like it. You'll be engaging yourself in sin now and think God is not noticing it. God has said in his word, there's consequences of what you're doing. And God will never forget his word. He'll never. The prophet says, like he told Moses when Israel had been down there 400 years, God remembered his promise. I've come down to make good what I said. God doesn't forget. He doesn't forget his curses. Neither does he forget his blessings. But every promise he's made, he stays with it. Amen. God doesn't forget his curses. If you sow to the flesh, God doesn't forget. When you sow to the Spirit, God's going to be faithful there as well. Either he's going to remember his blessings in your life down the way, or he's going to remember his cursings down the way. And it all depends on what you're doing now. It all depends on your attitude to his word now. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap. Because God never forgets. He goes on to say, the prophet, he says, you see Ephraim at Bethel, and Dan set up idols. And here we are plumb down into the millennial age. And God still remembers that sin. Just as sure as he remembers every good promise, he remembers every evil one too. Ah, friends, it's a serious thing to think about. 5 years from now, where are you going to be? What is God going to be remembering about you 5 years from now? Is God going to be visiting His promises upon you? Is God going to be visiting, if you're not here anymore, if God takes you off the scene, visiting the blessings upon your children like He promised? Or is God going to be visiting His curses? Is God going to be visiting the consequences of what you've done upon you and your household, upon your family and things like that? It depends on what we do now with His word, with inheritance that He gives to us. It's all dependent upon now. The prophet says, you see, they wouldn't think about that then. They never thought about it then. It was nice. Idol worship. Devil spirits. I'm sure there's a spiritual blessing in doing it. It's a spiritual thing. It's like fornication. It's nice when it lasts. Adultery. All those kind of things. The pleasures of sin for a season. But there's consequences for doing it. You'll enjoy it for a season. You'll think you got away with it. But God doesn't forget. God never forgets, friends. Time doesn't forgive sin. Time doesn't change anything. God doesn't forget. This was thousands of years, but God didn't forget. He remembered what they did back there. And when it came time to visit His people, when it came time now for His covenant blessings to come to Israel, God forgot them because they'd forgotten God. But those who had remembered the Lord, God remembered them. That was the principle of God's word. Look in Genesis 35. You'll find it time and time again in the Bible. Genesis 35 verse 22. Reuben was the firstborn. Reuben had the rights of the birthright. He was supposed to have the double portion, the priesthood. He was supposed to have the scepter, the leadership of the tribe. And it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land. It was right in the land, the promised land. Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. So there was some sort of a temptation. Israel has his concubine. His son looks. Maybe the woman gets a spirit of lust. I don't know what goes on here. But Reuben thinks, it doesn't really matter. It's just one night. And he goes into the tent and he uncovers the nakedness of his father, contrary to the word. He lies with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And maybe he sneaks out and he thinks he's got away, but nobody saw what I was doing. You cannot hide it from God. You can cover your sin that the world may not see, but you cannot hide it from God. And God has amazing ways of showing things. You will start compromising with a woman who's not your wife. You'll decide you're going to meet up in town and you're going to find a brother comes right across what you're doing. Exactly. It happened this week. I won't say names, but it happened this week. You will think, no one's watching what I'm doing. Let me walk arm in arm with this woman. And God will allow a brother somehow to turn a corner in some strange way. And he'll look and say, hey, that's a brother. And he'll follow you and he'll say, but that is brother so and so. And who's that? This is a married brother, friends. And if we see it, how much does God see it? And these are the things that defile the inheritance. These are the things that defile the land. These are the things that cause God to spew you out from your inheritance. The very things that He stored up for your blessing. You will never inherit those blessings. Just because of the sins of the flesh for a season. Giving into the pleasures of sin for a season. You cannot hide it from God. I remember one pastor told me, it's not far away from here. There was a brother in the church and he wasn't living right. And that brother went out to the pubs, went out to the nightclubs and that. And this brother used to always suspect and say, I think that brother's not living right. And that brother had, those were the days of the push button phones. And that brother went into the nightclub, went into the pub, they had the phone in his pocket. And in the middle of the night, 1:30 in the morning, somehow the phone phoned the pastor. He told me himself, he said, brother, my phone just started ringing. And I looked, it was brother so and so. I answered, but the phone was in his pocket. And I heard what he was saying. And I heard the place that he was. Friends, if God wants you to know something, He knows how to do it. You will think you're getting away with it. And friends, you can hide it from us, but you can't hide it from Him. And who's the most important person, us or Him? He's the one who holds the blessing. He's the one who can give you your inheritance. I can't give you the inheritance. But if you're wanting God's blessing in your life, esteem your birthright. Let it be the most important thing. Take heed unto yourselves, the Bible says. Be careful. These sins of the flesh, especially in this age, they defile you. And if you're not careful, the land, that very land God reserved for you, will spew you out. And you won't be a privileged person anymore. Now, Reuben never thought much about it. But then you get to Genesis 49. And it's time now for Jacob to bless his sons before he dies. Genesis 49 verse 1. So now the greatest blessing is supposed to come upon Reuben as the firstborn. Genesis 49 verse 1. Then Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear ye sons of Jacob and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, the excellency of power. That was the potential that was stored up for him. That's what he was supposed to have been. And then the Holy Ghost moves it in another direction. Verse 4. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Because you went up to your father's bed, then defilest thou it. He went up onto my couch. God doesn't forget. When it came time for the blessings, Reuben didn't get the blessing. He stayed as one of the tribes. That you go and read history, they say, no judge, no prophet, no prince is found of that tribe. Except Dathan, Abram, they were the only two. The only people that came. It didn't only affect this man, it affected his offspring as well. His behavior robbed the blessing from the tribe. It's not a small thing, friends. You know, when Solomon went astray, God says, I won't take the tribes, the kingdom away from you. Because of David your father. Because of David your father. You can store up blessings for your children. Amen. He says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. Imagine God will bless your seed because of your faithfulness. Ah, friends. We're all being blessed today because of the faithfulness of Abraham. Our father Abraham. Thousands of years down there, all nations will be blessed in thee. What a blessing that it was, because of one man could bring the blessing upon a multitude. But one man can bring a curse upon his people as well. And Reuben, not knowing what it was going to do to his sons and daughters down the way, because of the lust of the flesh, because of his lustful desire for one night, he went and slept with her once. And look at the consequences, friends. Amen. Look at the consequences. Don't play with pornography, you young people. Amen. It's an open door to things that you're going to regret. Amen. You will defile yourself. You will defile your name. You will defile your inheritance. It's not worth it. Amen. Don't play around with the boys of the world, the girls of the world. Amen. No matter how much the chemistry will be hot, it's a detestable thing in the eyes of God. Amen. God will never bless you for it. In fact, God's going to remember his other promises. God's going to remember, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. Amen. You're going to reap corruption. That's what the Bible says. You shall. There's no maybe there. Reuben forsook the blessing. The blessing forsook him because of what he did. By the time it comes right down, the Bible even comes and explains it in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, I think that it is. It says, the birthright is not to be numbered, the blessing is not to be numbered after the firstborn. And what did God do? God took the birthright and gave it to Joseph. Imagine. He took the scepter, he gave it to Judah. He took the priesthood, he gave it to Levi. They weren't the ones that were supposed to inherit those things. But what did Joseph do when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife? Because your inheritance is dependent on your conduct and your behavior. Before you come to the full blessing, he's going to tempt you. And us as men, that's the biggest test he's going to give to us. And you young men and you young women, be careful. Someone's going to cross your way, a Potiphar's wife. And she's going to plead with you. And she's going to vex your soul. There's going to be someone at work. There's going to be someone living next door to you, whatever it's going to be. And the devil's going to anoint him and God's going to permit it. And God's going to say, this is either going to be a stepping stone to blessing for my son, to greater authority and inheritance, or this is going to be where he defiles himself. And he can lose his birthright. And when she came and said all those things to Joseph, he said, it's not right for me to sin against God, for me to sin against your husband. And she grabbed him. Imagine how many of us could stand for that. That day by day, she's proposing this guy. And he's been forsaken by his brethren. He hasn't been through an easy time in the message of the hour. There's plenty of reason for him to think, but hey, what's the purpose? What profit is this birthright to me? But this was perfection. This was Joseph. There was something inside of this man that God so loved. He was such a type of Christ. He wanted only to do his Father's will. And when she grabs his garment, he lets it go, he runs out of the place. And he gets into trouble for it. But when it comes time for the blessing in Genesis 49, it's one of the greatest blessings in the Bible, goes to Joseph. Oh, God blesses this man. Gives him the birthright. Though he was 11th born, he gets the birthright. Friends, it's not how long we're in the message. It's not how many quotes we can quote. That doesn't determine our inheritance. It's our conduct and our behavior. Especially in these things. Like they say, when the rubber hits the road, the reality of these things of the flesh and giving into the things of the flesh. And you parents, be careful that you don't support your children in that which is taking them away from the very blessing that you've been saying, you've been praying for them to receive. Never compromise with your children on these things. Don't compromise. How can mothers compromise with their daughters because they want to go and get involved with some denominational guy? Friends, don't do that. You should be praying seriously. You should be pleading with them to say, you're going to forsake your birthright here. You're going to forsake your inheritance if you continue on like this. Rather than say, oh, he's not such a bad guy. That's got nothing to do with it. I'm sure many of the Amalekites were nice people. I'm sure many of those seven tribes, they were nice people. But the Lord said, it's the influence. They've defiled themselves. They've defiled the land. And you be careful because you'll defile yourself as well. It's nothing to do with looking at things in that personal kind of a way. So Reuben, he loses the birthright. Ah, friends, that's sad. Sad to think about it. And his sons and his daughters and their sons and their daughters, they lose privilege in the kingdom of God because of their father. Because of one night of passion. People look at that and say, but God's not fair. These things were written for our examples. For us to learn from them. That's why God puts it inside of his word. To teach us that some of these things you'll think you've got away with it. You'll think nobody noticed what you were doing. But God sees. And God is the ever-remembering God. And there comes a time now of visitation when he visits it upon you. Oh, friends, you don't want to get to the stage now as the council starts tightening up and these laws are being passed and we're heading right near the squeeze, closer and closer, that we're needing now the fullness of the covenant blessing to kick in on our behalf. And you'll find, like Jacob at that time, it's not there because of the sins of the flesh. Imagine when you need the third pull to kick in on your behalf. Heaven is silent. And like Esau, you'll go and seek it with tears of repentance. But he couldn't find the place of repentance anymore. Think of it, what you're doing, friends. The things we're doing now are storing up. If we're faithful, now God remembers all of his promises. God remembers all of his covenant promises. He'll visit you with a covenant blessing. But sometimes it's a long-term investment. And we're not long-term investment kinds of people. We want the short-term gain now. And the short-term gain, so-called, keeps us from the long-term blessing. Ah, friends, don't do it. It's not worth it in the end. It's not worth it. Ask Brother Billy Paul. Billy Paul, he decides, I want to get married. He goes out to the Catholic girl. goes and marries her without the parents' consent. Comes back to Abraham and says, we got married. Abraham says, you can't do that. Takes the young girl, takes brother Billy Paul, annuls the wedding. But God had paid attention. God had seen. They made their vows. They'd married one another. Some years later, now he meets Lois. He wants to marry her. Comes to brother Branham, says, brother, daddy, please, I want to marry this girl. She's a Christian girl. She believes this faith. Please, can you marry us? You know what the prophet said? By no means. By no means. Why? Because of what he had done. He forsook the blessing. And Billy Paul had to go and marry in a denomination, and Brother Ram didn't even go to the wedding. He didn't. Brother Ram came afterwards to the house and prayed God's grace upon them. And then when it came time now for the blessing in the home, four little graves, four miscarriages, one after another. Billy Paul speaks of it in his testimony. He says, we buried four little babies, the consequences. And Billy Paul says that, he says, you young people, never get into the permissive will the way that I have. He says, the permissive will is hard. The permissive will is hard. God might permit certain things, but he'll make sure you learn the lesson. There'll never be the full blessing there. Why seek a permissive will at best? Ah, friends, don't play around with the will of God. It was a real lesson that he had to learn. But Reuben, he lost his influence. Now, look in Proverbs chapter 6. Look at the effects of sin. Adultery, fornication, those kinds of sin. Proverbs chapter 6 verse 32. Look what it says about a person that engages in these things. Proverbs 6 verse 32. But whosoever committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. You lack understanding. You're not thinking what you're doing. You're not thinking of the consequences of what you're doing. You're not thinking of what you're storing up for yourself. You lack understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. You'll destroy your soul. You'll separate your soul from God. Verse 33. A wound and dishonor shall he get. That although maybe you'll come and repent, but there's scars. That'll never go away. And there's dishonor that'll never go away. Though you may get justified by making it right, but the effects will never leave you all the days of your life. And for that one little season of sin, for the rest of your days, there's scars and there's wounds and there's dishonor. Friends, sin is a hard taskmaster. It'll take you far further than you ever intended to go. Amen. And it'll keep you there longer than you ever intended to stay. It says, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Now there's certain things you will do, especially as men, that will absolutely disqualify you from any position in the church. Imagine, maybe God's called you to do something. God has an inheritance for you amongst the sons and daughters of God. But there's certain things that you can do, getting into certain relationships, messing yourself up in marriage, that even if you repent, God forgives you, but there's scars now. There's reproach, and you can never get rid of that reproach all the days of your life. Though you may have been a Reuben, that God had a great inheritance for you, but because you couldn't wait, because you couldn't go God's provided way, because you overrode the will of God with your own passion, your own desire. You heap up for yourself things that visit you down the way. And for the rest of your life, you'll regret it. Brother Howard Branham, just when he was dying, Mother's Day, we've read it many times. The prophet says, the next in the link to go, who did go, will come Howard, his brother. He's speaking about the resurrection morning. He says, I see Howard as we chummed together across the lands. Imagine God allowing you to be the brother of a prophet and be able to help in the ministry, helping Brother Branham as I went around from meeting to meeting. He says, called to be a minister. That was his inheritance. Called to be a minister. Great personality. God had equipped him. But his associates kept him back. Let no man rob you of your crown. His associates kept him back. And when he was dying, Branham says, there's one thing I want you to do for me, Howard said. He said, I've muddled up my life. I've been married and everything. I don't know what happened. So when he married, he disqualified himself. He had been called to be a minister. Maybe he married someone who was married. I don't know what it was. But there was something that he did, some decisions that he made, that maybe at that time he thought, I don't want to be a minister anymore. What profit is this birthright to me? And then down the way now, he realized, I made a great mistake, Billy. You know, my life's passed me by and I never fulfilled the purpose of God inside of my life. Called to be a minister, but he couldn't fulfill it. That's what the Bible says, be careful because the reproach, it won't be taken away. It won't be taken. And you young girls, you'll have a scar in your flesh that can never be taken away. Once you lose it, you can never get it back. Never get it back. And it'll disqualify you from a lot of things in the kingdom of God. Because you can never marry into certain spiritual offices. Your husband can never hold certain things in the kingdom of God. Because you've been defiled. Because you defiled the land. And although you repent of it, you can never be justified. You can never go back into the same condition that you were. It's not worth it, friends. It's not worth it. That's why the Bible says, looking diligently. Have understanding in what you're doing. See the consequences of what you're doing. Think about it. Think about 5 years from now. Think about it. You might say, I despise this birthright. I guarantee you're going to come back like Esau. One day you're going to be seeking with tears. Be careful that you don't fail of the grace of God, that it passes you by. That's what he does, Billy Paul. That's exactly what he had. Now listen about if you do fall in these sins, about making it right. Look at what you've got to do to make these things right. Questions and answers. This is question 288. This is 1964, August 23rd in the evening. If a woman commits a wrong with a married man and makes it right with her husband according to the scriptures, does she need to go to the wife of the man involved, even if this wife doesn't know anything about it? Or is it that man's duty to tell his wife first? And then she continues on. The prophet says, well, my dear sister, there's only one thing. You've done that which is right. He says, I guess somebody that you know was involved, or you yourself, in a wrong act. That you'd taken another woman's companion and had a social act. She might have thought it was a small thing at the time. And when you did, there you fell from your grace. Can you see that? The moment she did that, God left her. And if she had have died in that condition, no adulterer shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's how serious it is, friends. And it's not just enough to say sorry to the Lord. That's the thing about it. There's consequences. There's a reproach you're going to have to bear. He says, the prophet. He says, then you repented. And you could not repent until you go back to this man and make it right. Amen. So she went to her husband and she repented. But it wasn't finished. She now had to go with her husband to the man she had sinned with. That's the order of the scripture. Is that an easy thing to do, friends? Is that something you want to do? If I do that, I mean, how is my wife ever going to respect me down the way? It's going to take, there's going to be a reproach, there's going to be scars. There's going to be dishonor, like it says in the book of Proverbs. Whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. Though you may be forgiven, but to be justified, to go back to the way things were before, is going to be very difficult, friends. Very difficult to bring your marriage back to where it was. Because you've got to go to your wife if you've sinned. There's no other way. You can come to us. You didn't sin against me. You sinned against your marriage vows. You sinned against your wife. You said, I will have none other. I will hold none other in your marriage vows. And the only way you can get back into fellowship with God, you've got to go to your husband or to your wife. And you've got to have an open-hearted confession. And then you've got to go with him to the man you sinned with. And say, this is my husband. I sinned against him by what I did with you. And I want to make this right. It was wrong what we did. Friends, that's a hard thing to do. Just for a few minutes of pleasure. Just for a few minutes of fleshly pleasure. You're going to reap a harvest. A real harvest of grief and shame and dishonor. Do you want to do that? The prophet says, a lady came to me not long ago, a young woman. She had run around with a man. She was in fornication with a man, though she was a Christian. He says, she knew she was doing wrong. And she left the city, went to another city and changed her name and lived with some other people, trying to run away from this relationship with this man. He says, and when she got over there, he followed her and told her, I've got the goods on you. You know, there was a secret between them. And although now she was going married to a fine Christian man, he said if she didn't continue sleeping with her, she'd go and tell her husband. You see how it catches up with you? You can't run to another city. That doesn't blot out your transgression. You can't change your name. That does nothing. The prophet says, and she had a baby. And now the girl, the baby, is about 18 years old. Imagine, 18 years she went by in this condition. 18 years. Going to church, but being separated from the kingdom of God. 18 years. He says, and the girl's 18 years old. And the girl doesn't know which one of them is her real father. Ah, shame on that girl. The mother actually says, it says, Brother Branham, if I repent of this, my daughter will commit suicide. Imagine driving your daughter to the edge of suicide because of your behavior, because of the things of the flesh. The prophet says, now she's come into menopause. Whatsoever you sow, that shall you reap. And normally a woman, it catches her in menopause and it's caught up with her. Now what can she do? She said, if I tell my husband, he'll leave me. My daughter, she'll commit suicide. I said, if you hold it in your heart, you'll go to hell. You'll go to hell. Friends, these aren't small things. In the Old Testament, you were stoned for these things. God says, this is an abomination. This defiles you and defiles the land. You've got to make these things right. The prophet says, there's only one thing to do. Clean your slate. That's exactly right. Be honest. There's no other way. You've got to come clean. He says, you know, many times in the visions, the Holy Spirit digs up them things that they've done down there. You've heard it and seen it. And tells them things that they've got to do. And they say, well, I've already made it right with the Lord. You owe it to your husband or to your wife to go and tell them. That's right. You're supposed to confess that. That's the only thing that puts it under the blood. The prophet says, now this person, the one who asked the question, if she's the one that's guilty, she's done the right thing. She went to her husband. You've cleared yourself, sister. You've committed adultery. You went to your husband, cleared yourself. You went to the man and the husband and cleared yourself there. You are clear. If your husband continues to want to live with you, that's up to him. He doesn't have to do it now. But if he wants to live with you and forgives you, then you be lady enough to never be guilty of such a thing again. But if he doesn't forgive you, that's his own business, he can put you away exactly right. Hey, imagine being in that kind of a condition, friends. That you have children, you have a child, and you put yourself in your relationship right into a situation that your husband's going to make a decision like that. Hey, and imagine he forgives you. It's not going to be easy for quite some time. Because every time you start giving a hard time and think you're quite the smart aleck in the house, what's going to come straight into his mind? The fact that he forgave you because of what he did, what you did to him. It shouldn't be like that, the prophet says. You don't want that. Then the prophet speaks about the woman for the Sunday school teacher. He actually says it was in the First World War. It was more than 30 years that she had. 40 years almost. She had slept with somebody when her husband was away during the war. And then she started falling to pieces. She went to all these psychiatrists wondering, but what's next? What's wrong with me? And the prophet says, I sat with her in the room. And I could see something's wrong. And I said, sister, have you made everything right? Because no one will have any authority over the devil in your life unless you've come clean with God. No matter how much someone prays for you, no matter how much you do whatever, until you follow God's provided way, that demon has every legal right and authority to stay right there. And she sat there, and it was the grace of God because the prophet saw the vision. And says, I'll see you in a car, and your husband's away at the war, and you're committing a social act with a man. And she says, don't tell anybody. I made that right with God. If she made it right with God, why is God revealing it to his prophet? She never sinned against God, the prophet says. In that sense, she sinned against her marriage vows. And she had tried in a half-hearted way, the prophet says, to make it right with her husband. But the blood never washed it away. And the prophet says, you have to go and be clean. Go and tell your husband. And she says, my husband will leave me. Brahman says, God has already left you. And Brahman went out the room and the woman fell at his feet. And then the grace of God kicked in and the prophet saw the vision of her husband in the same act with another man. You see, sin breeds sin. And then he says, I see your husband. He's such and such a man. He works with a lady that looks like this. He committed the same thing yesterday or whenever it was last week. He says, you go and call your husband and bring him here. How do you expect to go on with God until you make these things right? And that man came and he was a deacon in the church and he resigned as a deacon. And she was a Sunday school teacher and she resigned as a Sunday school teacher. And they put their arms around each other and started to make things right. Friends, there's consequences to sin. Imagine all of that portion of her life, the blessing she would have had in all those years from God that she forsook because of that one act. One act back there. And all that God had stored up for and all the blessing and the revelation and the fellowship and the communion for her and for her family. Imagine that home was a sorrowful home because the woman was losing her mind. Until you can see the husband went and started to sleep with another woman. Friends, there's consequences to these things. But when the devil offers us these things on a plate, we don't see the consequences. We lack understanding. We don't look all the way down the way and see the way that it's supposed to be. It's a serious thing. That's why when Balaam came, as we said on Wednesday, and said, let's meet together with the Moabites, the people of Moab. Yeah? And then those Moabite women came. And friends, the Moabite women were far more exciting than the women of Israel. They were. The women of Israel, they were just, you know, so many years in the wilderness, just doing their business each day. And Balaam knew how to get God to curse his people right in the land of the inheritance. And he brought now these women of Moab, and the prophet says, with their manicure, and the way they were dressed, yeah? Sexy like that, and the way they would dance. And the sons of God fell into a delusion, the prophet said. They looked at these dainty women of Moab. It was far more exciting than the woman in the message. Far more exciting. And our young girls, they look at these slickers, the prophet says out there. Yeah? They look at these guys with their jeans half down and all that. The way that they dress these days. They look at those things and it's far more exciting. They look at the brothers in the message and say, oh, I can't marry that guy. You're doing exactly the same thing. You're looking with natural eyes. Moses looked at the sons and daughters of God in the mud pits and he saw the covenant children of God. Pharaoh looked at them and he saw them as mud daubers and slaves. It depends on the spiritual condition that you're in. And the sons of God of Israel fell into a delusion and they took unto themselves the woman of Moab. Now Moab weren't unbelievers. They were like the denominations. It was a hybrid religion. That's why we don't allow people here. And we'll never bless it in this place for someone to go and try to get in a relationship with some denominational guy. Yes. Never. Yes. That's Moabites. Amen. We don't want to bring the people of Moab in here. God has a way of doing it, friends. Because you will think about Ruth. But Boaz wouldn't touch her. Boaz wouldn't pay any attention to her. And she left Moab. And she made her own decision and she crossed the Jordan and she came into the promised land herself. And then he didn't quickly do anything. He waited for her to go through the time of Ruth serving in the fields of Boaz in the hot summer sun to show that she proved herself faithful first. And only then would he enter into a covenant relationship with her. And that's how it is for all the sons of God. Doesn't mean just because someone comes from Moab and sits here for a couple of weeks and you start making plans now inside of yourself to say, hey, God's brought me my wife. How do you know? She might be an Orpah. When the summer sun comes, when the word comes down, she may go straight back to her gods, straight back to the belief of her forefathers. You don't want that. God has a way. When Eliezer said it to Abraham, he said, if that woman, when I'm going there, if she's not willing to come, shall I take your son there? He said, by no means. He says, never take my son out of the land for the sake of marriage. The Lord will send his angel. If she can't listen to the voice of the angel, you shouldn't be marrying her. If she can't respond to the same angel that was leading them to their inheritance, she's not the right person. But God knew by sending Eliezer that there was a Rebecca who could be stirred up by the same angel and brought to the well of water at evening time. And then she was willing to leave her kindred, the denominational kindred. She was willing to leave her gods and all those other things there. She was willing to come all the way into the land of promise herself. And that's when he married her, friends. And that's God's pattern. In Eden, God never said to Adam, go and find your own wife. Go outside of Eden and find someone to marry. It was God's burden. God wanted to find someone who was bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, life of his life, that was born under the same promise, that was under the same covenant. And that's how God was the one who brought Eve to Adam and presented her to him. And friends, that's God's perfect will. Anything else is at best a permissive will of God. And at worst, be careful. Be careful. You get yourself totally out of the will of God. Absolutely out of the will of God. And don't come to us like we said the other week and ask us to bless something that God can't bless. How can we bless something that God can't bless? We can never do it. Never do it. Like we say, love the sinner but hate the sin. Detest that sin. You never want to do that. Let's finish with this thought about David. The prophet says, imagine David. Because of one night of sin with Bathsheba. Imagine. Did he know the consequences that was going to have inside of his life? Not only to himself, but to his children. Because the Lord says, I will raise up evil in your house. Much of the evil that comes in the houses of believers, it didn't start with the children. Amen. It started with the parents. Right. It's the parents that opened the way, like David did, though he was a man after God's own heart, but he committed a detestable sin. And the Bible, all the way through, when it speaks about David, it says, David did that which was right. All except in the issue of Bathsheba. It'll always say that. The reproach could never be taken away. The scars and the wounds followed David right until the day of his death. The trouble in his house, when he heard of Absalom being put to death, David knew it was his own blame. His own son rebelling against himself, it was because of what he had done. When he saw Amnon and Tamar being defiled, yeah? David knew, that's me. That's my fault. Because of what I did with Bathsheba, God is visiting it upon my family. Ah, oh, friends, I don't want to do that. I want my children to be blessed. I want my children to know Christ at a young age. I want them to receive the blessing. And a lot of it depends on me. That's how we can apply the token upon our children. But the prophet says in Message of Grace, he says, look at David. How could he have done that? One of his mighty men jumped into a pit and killed a lion. How could David take Uriah's wife? The beautiful Bathsheba when he had 500 of his own. When David did that evil thing, his own judgment should have killed him. When the prophet came and said, this man took this man's lamb, and David said, that man shall die. And Nathan says, you are the man. It's so easy to judge other people, friends. The prophet says it should have killed him. And that prophet came up there and stood before him. Bald-headed fellow stomped in old Nathan out of the wilderness, sat down and said, David, how is everything going? Said, fine, fine. Oh, prophet of God, live forever. Hallelujah. That's what believers do, friends. We hide in the garden. from the voice of the Lord. Even when God sends it to us, we're not comfortable to face up to the consequences of what we've done. We're not comfortable. He thought everything was just fine. He thought he could hide it. But you can't hide from God. He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows your thoughts because he's God. Now, that was David's passion. He had 500 wives, but when he saw Uriah's wife, instead of taking one of his wives to appease or to satisfy his passions, he went and took this other man's wife. Then he killed Uriah when she became mother. Can you see how one sin leads to another? That's why the moment we fall, repent quickly. Because sin has that. It'll go from this to this and become more and more complicated. Until in the end, when you want to set it right, it's not going to be easy to set it right. Don't let it breed. Don't let it go too far. The prophet says, David didn't know what he's doing when he condemned himself. He was ready to pronounce judgment. He says, the man will pay with his life. That old prophet, them eyes narrowed down. And he said, David, you'll surely not die. Watch grace go to work right quick. The Spirit struck the prophet and saved David's life. Surely you'll not die. But there's consequences. But the sword will not leave your house till it's thoroughly purged your heart. For you are that rich man. Hey, there's consequences. Whatsoever you sow, that you're going to reap. God forgave the man, but God said, I'm going to purge him. I'm going to teach him such a lesson because of what he's done that he'll never do this again. Because if God just came down many times and just forgave us of those things, we'll very readily go and do those same things again. And the Lord now said to him, I'll raise up evil from your house. And immediately the trouble started to come. And one thing followed another, and another thing followed another. And David had gone months and months and months not making the sin right. Because Nathan came to him, what, just at the time when the baby was born. 9 months had passed by. And like they say, David never composed a single psalm in that time. He never did. He was out of fellowship with God. He was out of communion with God. He lost so much of the blessing that he could have had. And for the rest of his life, all the days of his life, from that day right to the end, David regretted that sin. But the Bible speaks of the deceitfulness of sin. Sin deceives us. It makes you think, no, it's fine. Do it. Nothing will happen. No, you'll look and see a great cloud of witnesses around you. People that made shipwreck of their faith. People that made shipwreck of their relationships. People that made shipwreck by marrying unbelievers and so forth. So many of them we know around and about. Hard lives. And you will think it'll be different for you. That's the deceitfulness of sin. It'll never be different for you. It's the principles of God's word. God can never bless it like that. He can never. At best, you'll have a permissive will, like I say. But why do you want that? Why do you want to risk your soul? Friends, I don't think it's worth it. I think you'd rather endure for a season. Rather lay on your face before the Lord and seek for a deliverance rather than give yourself over to these things. It doesn't pay off in the end, friends. But if you wait, God has his appointed time. God has his appointed way. God has someone for you. God has somebody that will help you spiritually. God has someone that will pick you up when you're falling down. God has someone who's a helpmeet unto you. He's reserved them for you. That's your inheritance. But let no man rob you of your inheritance. Be careful of that. Let's just finish once again. If you go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 25. Sorry, Hebrews chapter 12. Let's finish with that scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Paul says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That's what sin does. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. It's like Samson, we always say. You know, you see Samson, he was a judge for 20 years, you can read. All the other judges normally judge for 40 years. God had a great inheritance for this man. He was a man that had great influence in heaven. The power could come down. He could be such a blessing to the sons and daughters of God. But he never esteemed his birthright. He esteemed Delilah above that. And in the end, he lost his influence with his people. He lost his influence in heaven. He lost the power of the covenant. He lost the blessings that we reserved up for him. He lost his eyesight. He lost his liberty. And he was in a prison house. And see all the things that that man lost because of Delilah. Because of a relationship with someone that he shouldn't have been in. But God knows how to purge a person. If you're predestined, and it was hard, and he ground away with his fetters of brass in the prison house, and he started inside of himself to think upon his ways, the prophet says, to consider what he had done. And he got to a place, he said, Lord, let me die with the Philistines. Let me die to the Philistine, to this enemy. And then the power came back. And in his death, greater was the victory than all the days of his life when he was willing to pay the price. That's what it is. Verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully. With tears. Oh, friends, there's a certain line that you can cross in the economy of God that you can never go back. You can never. There's certain things that you can do that you can never undo. And the Bible says today, while you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. But submit yourself to him. Yield yourself to him. If you need his mercy, seek his mercy. If you don't have strength to say no, Brother George Wallace gives the example of our good friend. Now he's a pastor in the message. And he came to the Lord and he was going out with Miss Zimbabwe just about. She was a pretty girl. And he tried to tell her about the faith. She wasn't interested. And you could see with this brother, this was going to hold him back from his inheritance. And one day I said, brother, the time has come. And we took a 20-cent coin. And like Brother George says, that 20 cents was his liberty. It was his freedom from his past. And I said, brother, I've got a 20-cent piece here. Let's go and sort this issue out. And he was a real man of God. And we went and we put it in the public phone in those days. And he dialed that number and he told her, it's finished. It's over. And God gave him such a good wife. God had such a good wife reserved up for him. But he had to come to that choice himself, that decision himself, to realize this is wrong. She doesn't believe this faith. She's not going to respond to this faith. And that's why he said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. What does the Bible say? You know, what communion does Christ have with Belial? You know, come out from among her. And God set him free and God led him into his inheritance. And may God do the same to us. Let's stand. Like I said, saints, when we say these things, it's like I was trying to say the other day, it's nothing to do with issues of the past. It's current issues now and issues of the future. We're not going back and visiting all issues. We don't want to do that. But we're just trying to make sure that the pattern and the standard is clear, that everybody knows and understands the grace of God and what God has reserved for us and the enemy and how cunning that he is. And these are the great things. Imagine Adam was taken right out of the covenant. Adam was taken right out of eternal life because of Satan coming in the garden. Eve taken right out of the promise because of the serpent. And Adam stepping right out of eternal life, like Brother Nash was preaching last week, stepping right out of eternal life because of his love for her. Friends, the consequences were great and we're reaping those consequences. We, the fallen sons and daughters of Adam, up to today, every time there's an ambulance, every time there's a sickness, all these things, we're still reaping the consequences of that from right back there in the Garden of Eden. There's consequences. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap.
Hallelujah.
Let's sing, right?
Come out, come in, come out. The Spirit of Elijah. turns us back. Come and drink of this rock. You will never thirst again.
Hallelujah.
The Spirit and the Bride say come.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Come in.
Come in.
Come on. The Spirit of Elijah
turns us back.
Come and drink of this rock.
You will never thirst again.
Oh, Spirit and the Bride say come.
He who hath an ear,
he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the church. Never fear, never fear. Come and drink of this rock. You will never thirst again.
Whoa.
The Spirit and the Bride say come.
Come out, my brother, my sister.
Come out, come in, come out. Spirit of Elijah
turns us back.
Come and drink of this rock.
You will never thirst again.
The Spirit and the Bride say come.
God's voice
is calling from heaven.
My people,
be not partakers of her sins. Her sins have reached heaven. God sees her iniquities.
Oh,
the Spirit and the Bride say come.
Oh, come out, Dublin Church, come out,
come in, come out. The Spirit of Elijah
turns us back.
Come and drink of this rock. You will never thirst again.
Spirit and the Bride say come. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride say come.
The Spirit and the Bride say come.
Oh, the Spirit and the Bride say come.
The Spirit and the Bride say come.
You'll say it's hard. It's not hard. Sin is hard. The consequences of sin are hard. God is not hard. The prophet says, if someone's in the road, your child's in the road, you'll shout to them, say, Johnny, get out the road.
Hallelujah.
Because you love them. Amen. They may not understand at that time the danger that they're in. They may not see the consequences of what they're doing. But you as the father, you as the mother, you understand better than them. That's why the Bible says, he who gets involved in these things lacks understanding. Amen. But God has understanding in his word. You'll say it's hard, but it can change today.
Hallelujah.
Today you can make the decision. Today you can say, it's finished. I'm no longer pursuing these things of the world. Now, you can do it right now. There's nothing to stop you changing right now. Getting
Hallelujah.
Your phone, deleting that number. And saying, I will never contact this person
Amen.
Again. Now, I've decided to follow Jesus. Though no one follows, no one joins me, still I will follow. That's the real clear-cut decision. You can make it now. God wants you to make it now. And 5 years from now, you'll be reaping the benefit of your decision that you made today. Let's sing that song, I Have Decided.
To follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. turning back. Oh, no turning back.
Oh, the cross before me.
The cross before me. The world behind.
The world behind me.
The cross before me. The world behind.
The world behind me.
The cross before.
Before me, my Lord. Satan behind me.
No turning back.
Oh,
no turning back.
Oh, if no one hears me.
No one hears.
Oh,
still I will fall.
I will follow.
If no one hears me.
Still I will
fall.
I will follow Jesus.
No one hears me.
Still I will
follow.
I will follow. I'll follow.
No turning back. No turning back.
I have decided.
To follow Jesus.
I will follow Jesus.
I have decided.
To follow my Jesus, I have decided. I will follow Jesus.
No turning back.
I have decided.
To follow Jesus.
I will follow Jesus.
I have decided
to follow Jesus.
To follow my Jesus.
I have decided
to follow Jesus.
I will follow you, Lord.
No turning back.
Who is Jesus? He's the anointed word. He's the message of your hour. You might say, I want to follow Jesus. Then follow what he says. Follow what the message says. Now, if your attitude is right, he'll give you the power. You may be bound, you may be so much in sin and say, I don't know how I'm ever going to get out of this. Just the right attitude. That's all that you need. Just inside of your heart, just make the decision and say, Jesus, it's finished.
Hallelujah.
Remember Jesus said it. He says, if your right hand offend you, cut it off. That's painful. It's not an easy thing to do, but he'll grant you grace. He says it's better to go into eternal life with one hand.
Hallelujah.
Than it is to go into hellfire with both hands. Consider 5 years from now. Now is the time to make the decision to really follow Jesus. Don't be like the rich young ruler. That you stand in the presence of eternal life. And the anointed word tells you exactly what it is you need to do. Sell all and come and follow me. And you look at your riches, you look at the things of this earth, and you turn away, and you go away sad. Don't let that be your inheritance. That's not what anybody here desires. We desire that eternal decision that will set you free. That decision that today you can say, from that time, God gave me deliverance and liberty from that spirit. Let's sing one more. Let's sing that song. There's an eye watching you. All along on the road to the soul's true abode, there's an eye watching you. It's watching you.
All along on the road, the sweet
home of the soul, there's an eye watching you. Every step that you take, this great eye is awake. There's an eye watching you.
Watching you.
Watching you, watching me.
Oh,
every day, mind the course
to pursue.
Watching you, oh, there's an all-seeing eye watching you.
Oh,
as you make life's great flight, keep the pathway of right. There's an eye watching you.
Oh,
God will warn,
He'll warn.
in the power of the Father. There's an eye watching you,
watching you and me,
watching you, watching you. Every day, mind the course to pursue.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Watching you.
Oh, thank you for watching,
watching
me, Lord.
You. There's an ocean eye watching you. Oh, fix your mind on the goal. The sweet hope of the soul.
There's an eye
watching you. Never turn
from
the way. The kingdom of day, there's an eye watching you.
Oh,
watching you. It's watching you.
Oh,
every day, mind the course you pursue.
Watching you.
It's watching you.
Oh,
there's an ocean eye watching you.
Oh, watching you.
It's watching you. Watching you,
oh, watching you and me
every day,
find the course to pursue.
Watching you, it's watching you.
Oh,
there's an all-seeing eye watching you.
Oh, there's an all-seeing eye.
There's an all-seeing eye watching you.
Let's sing one more. I know the brothers have to go because you've got to go for work. AJ and them, you're free. Please go if you need to get to work on time. Let's sing that song, I Bless Your Name. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray for the spiritual condition of things. Let's pray and say, Lord, we don't want to have any deeds of darkness. Lord, shine your light. Let your light shine into every nook and cranny and corner and expose any of the unfruitful works of darkness so that there be no pollution. But you'll just be the children of the light. Let's come before
Hallelujah.
The Lord after this and seek His face.
In praiseless chains, with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas, let's pray that night.
Oh,
and in their pain, began to sing.
They sang.
Their chains were loose and they were free.
Oh, I bless your name.
I bless your name.
Hallelujah.
I bless your name. I give you honor.
I give you praise.
You are the life,
the truth, the way.
I bless your name.
Some midnight hour,
if you should find
you in a
your mind,
reach out and pray.
Defy those chains. They will fall. In Jesus' name,
I bless your name.
Hallelujah. Bless your name.
Hallelujah.
I give you praise.
You are the light,
the truth, the way.
I bless your name.
So if you find that in your life,
you in the midst
of times so hard,
reach out
by faith
to heights unknown.
You will find. not alone.
I bless your name.
I bless your name.
Oh,
I bless your name.
I give you honor.
I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way.
I bless
your name. I bless you.
I bless your name.
I bless your name.
I bless
your name.
Hallelujah.
I give you honor. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name.
Just as we come to praise, anybody here today and you want to raise your hand up to the Lord, not to anybody else, but to Jesus who died for your soul, for Jesus who stepped out of eternal life and bore your sin and your iniquity and your shame and your reproach upon himself, and you wanted to say, Jesus, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. Forgive me, Lord. I just want to esteem my birthright. I just want to have respect unto what it is that you purchased for me. Oh, Lord Jesus, I just want your will for my life to be the most important thing to me inside of my life, Lord. I don't want flesh and blood to hold me back from the kingdom of God. I don't want husbands or lands or wives. I don't want anything to hold me back from you. I just want to follow you. If that's your desire, let's seek his face. Let's call upon his name before we would go. Father, we look unto thee. Father, we call upon the name. How we just desire, Lord, to come unto thee at this time as your people, seeking your mercy, Lord, at this time. Outside of thee, Lord Jesus, we know that we are nothing. Outside of thee, we know we can do nothing, Lord. But Father, you are more than able, Lord. You are able, Lord Jesus, and you are more than willing to manifest yourself on behalf of your sons and daughters, Lord. You see the need. Father, you see our desire. Just continue to lead us and guide us, Lord. Just wash us, Father, Lord, of our spirit, pray in the waters of your word. Just scour us out, Lord Jesus. Just deliver us, Lord, from these spirits, from these anointings, Father, from these things of this age, Lord. That, Father, Lord, the praise, that the honor, that the glory, Lord, may be given unto thee, Lord. That you may be glorified in all things, Lord. We do seek and ask and pray as we would look unto thee at this time, as we would bring it all before thee at this time. And we'd want to dedicate all things up unto thee, O Father, for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name, Lord. Just ask Brother Will to come and close for us in a word of prayer. Let's just remember, if saints, straight after service, to those who are able, let's go to Brother Jose's house. Let's go and mourn together with our sister. And let's remember her and the family in prayer in Jesus' name as well.
Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
Lord God Almighty, we are thankful this afternoon.
Lord.
Father, how all these things had to happen, oh God, in the lives of those people that are gone by.
Yes, Lord.
Oh God, that it may be an example unto us, Father.
Yes, Lord.
For you are determined, Lord, to show us the bad side of these things.
Yes, Lord.
That we may learn of it, O God. And I pray this afternoon, O God, even as your word has been preached to show
yes,
us the way, that, Father, you may give us grace, Lord.
Amen.
That we may walk in this way, Father.
Amen.
O God, no matter how enticing the things of this world may be,
yes, Lord.
I pray this afternoon, O God,
Amen.
That you may give us understanding. That we be lacking of understanding no more, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
But we may look at these things the way that you look at them.
Amen,
Father, what an abomination it is unto you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, help us, Lord, that we may look at it, Lord, as an abomination too, Lord.
Amen.
And run yes, with our lives as far
Amen.
As we can
yes,
from these
Lord.
Things.
Yes, Lord,
Lord
yes,
oh God,
Lord.
That we may walk before you, Lord, the
Amen.
Way that you want us to walk, Father.
Yes, Lord.
I pray this afternoon, Lord, that this word may come into our hearts, every one of us, Lord, and stand for it diligently.
Yes,
Father,
Lord.
Be it for our children.
Yes,
be
Lord.
It, Lord, O God, for our brothers and sisters.
Amen.
That, Lord, we be not of the any of these people that are fornicators, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, for your word expressly says it, Lord, that none of a fornicator will enter heaven, O God.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, what manner of people would we be, knowing these things and yet still partaking of them, O God?
Amen.
I pray, let it be to our shame.
Yes,
that, Lord, O God, we know these things and yet we continue to do them,
yes.
Yet we continue to tolerate them, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
I pray, be merciful to us, O God,
yes, Lord.
That we may look up to you this afternoon.
Amen.
And repent of these things.
Yes,
that, Father, O God, they may be rid from our midst.
Yes.
That, Lord, you may come once again.
Hallelujah.
And heal your people.
Yes.
Father, O God, that there be no more pollution in the place,
yes.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
That, Father,
Hallelujah.
You may operate freely as you want, Father.
Yes,
Lord, we come
Lord.
Humbly
yes,
before
yes,
you
Lord.
This afternoon,
yes, Lord.
Seeking, Lord, that you would help us to restore.
Please,
that, Father, if there be anything hidden still, Lord,
yes.
That, Father, it may be exposed,
Amen.
O God,
Hallelujah.
And that we may repent of it, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And that it be rid of us, O God.
Amen.
Be merciful to every father here, Lord,
yes, Lord.
And help us to be
Please,
the right
Lord.
Example to our children.
Please,
O God. Lord, these things have serious consequences, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, let it be, O God, that none of these evil promises may come upon our children
yes,
because of
yes,
our
Lord.
Misconduct.
Yes,
I pray for every mother, Lord,
yes,
that you would equip them, Father, with thy wisdom,
Hallelujah.
Lord, to teach the children the proper ways of our God. Father, the young people that are amongst us, Lord, we pray for each and every
yes,
one
Lord.
Of them. Seeking, oh God, that you may give them understanding, Lord,
Lord.
Never to walk in these ways, oh Father,
yes,
to forsake them, oh God.
Amen.
Father, for it's not worth the trouble that it stores for us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we want to be right in thy sight.
Yes,
help
Lord.
Us this afternoon,
yes,
Lord.
Lord. Yes,
we
Lord.
Thank you for our brother who's been so faithful,
oh,
bringing
Lord.
Such a word to us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, it would have been easier as a man to compromise.
Yes,
but
Lord.
We thank you for the stand
you,
that has been taken.
Oh
God, let us walk according to it, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I pray, oh God,
yes, Lord.
Even for those that are not here, Lord,
Please, Lord,
that somehow you'd lead them to hear this word.
Yes.
Father, oh God, that
Amen.
We may all be in one unity of spirit.
Amen.
Lord, Father, to allow you to work
Amen.
In our midst, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We remember our sister Noella.
Lord,
yes, we commit it to you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father, may you comfort her, Lord. May you bless us as we be with her there. Lord, you are the only comforter. May you come down, oh God,
yes.
And minister to her the things that she needs, Father.
Please,
Lord.
Lord,
we
Please,
pray,
Lord.
Father, this
Please,
afternoon
Lord.
For those that are sick in our midst.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would not let the innocent, Lord, suffer for the sake of those that are doing wrong.
Amen.
I pray, Father, that you touch each and every one of them that are sick and
yes.
heal them, oh God.
Please,
be merciful
yes,
to us,
Lord.
Father.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, until we meet again,
Please,
we
Lord.
Commit our needs to you, Lord.
Amen.
Even a place of worship,
yes,
may you
Lord.
Provide,
Hallelujah.
Oh God.
Amen.
You are still the
Jesus.
Same, and we are
yes,
believing
Lord.
This
yes,
afternoon
Lord. Yes, Lord.
That you will provide.
Amen.
Father, we commit our ways to you, Lord. Father, we pray you be with us, Father.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask
Hallelujah.
All these things.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless my thanks. Let's finish one breath. Let's dismiss with this one, whichever one you want.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from the wrong.
I'll be satisfied as long.
I'll be satisfied as long. Yes, I will. Let me hold close to thee,
just a closer walk,
just a closer walk with thee,
just a closer walk, my Jesus.
Grant it, Jesus is my plea, daily walking close to thee. Let it be, yeah, Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and strain, if I falter, Lord, Just a closer walk with me.
Just a closer walk with you, Jesus.
Granted, Jesus is my place. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, be alone. Let it be.
Life is over.
The time for me will be no more. Guide me, gently save me over to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore.
Just a closer walk with me.
Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee.
Let it be.